Insperity presents the Small Business Advocate Show with Jim Blasingame. This is a copyrighted production of Small Business Network, Inc. All rights reserved.
Now back to ringside with the voice of small business and the champion of the entrepreneur.
Say it now, gentlemen. Undisputed heavyweight champion of the world.
The Small Business Advocate, Jim Blasingame.
We're back. 34 after, 800-531-3815, toll-free coast-to-coast. John Dini is our guest. John is the president of Management Performance Network. He's also the author of 103 Tips for Better Hiring. He's certified facilitator for the Alternative Board, and he's our friend. John Dini, welcome back to the show.
Thanks, Jim. Great to be back.
It's good to have you back, as always. And, John, the last time you were here, we started a little series on how to grow your personal services business. You've got a personal services business, and I used to, and I guess I still do, but I used to be a full-time business consultant and working with local businesses and clients and local and regional, and as you know, there are a lot of people out there doing this now. There are a lot of people out there who decided to hang their own shingle out. And one of the things that I saw and that I experienced myself, and I'm sure you probably have too, is how to decide when it's time to grow, and then when you decide that it is, how you do it.
Yeah, it's tough, Jim. As we were saying last time, you know, success is a two-edged sword, and if you're dedicated to what you do and you love what you do and you're really good at it and you're superior to your competitors, the benefit is a lot of people come to you for your services.
Yeah.
The downside is a lot of people come to you for your services.
Yeah.
And at some point, you're working about as hard as you can, and just selling your own time or selling your own skills is maxed out.
Mm-hmm. Well, and the other thing that happens whenever you start becoming, you know, much in demand, and you know, there are people out there listening right now, John, who are saying, well, boy, that's a high-class problem. I can't wait to get to that point. You know, what are you guys complaining about? But the thing is, the truth is they're right, because you get into that situation, into that situation where people are calling on you. They are requesting your time and your service and your advice, and you've been working so hard to get to this point that you don't want to turn anybody down, or you don't want to hand anybody off, or you don't want to, you know, you don't want to go to sleep at night because you're afraid you've missed something. And
there's a great
challenge,
there,
isn't it?
Well, it's dangerous, because so many of us in this line of work are not real good at saying no.
Mm-hmm.
What made us successful is going the extra mile for our clients, doing the extra. And, you know, people call you up and they want to do business with you and don't like turning them down.
Well,
you don't want
to. You know, they're saying, John, wait a minute. I've been busting my hump for 3 years to get people to say yes, and now you're telling me I got to tell them no?
Well, if you don't, the problem is you stop delivering service on the level that you have been.
Mm-hmm.
And the alternative to that is to grow. And that means you have to learn to deliver your services through someone else.
Mm-hmm.
And how you do that depends on a lot of things that you want out of your company and your practice. You have to look at yourself first and decide where you're going with this and what you want it to become before you can decide the correct way mm-hmm. to grow the business so that it continues to take care of your customers.
When you start out as a personal services company at the very beginning, day one, you'll do anything, right? I mean, you'll design a business card, almost whatever it takes.
Yeah, a friend of mine who's been a consultant for years says when you start out, your core competency is whatever the first phone call in the morning needs.
That's right. That's exactly right. And then as your company grows, as time goes by, you identify a couple of things. You identify what you're the best at, and two, whatever it is that you're the best at that people want the most of.
Right. And usually you're forced into that. It's the time pressure. you get to a point where you're successful enough that you're not afraid of filling up the day. You start saying, usually it starts out by saying to somebody, you know, I know somebody else that's better at that particular thing than I am. Let me refer you to them. And, of course, you get twice the respect for doing that.
Absolutely. You know, one of the things that I used to do as a consultant, as a you know, basically a general business consultant with doing a lot of different things, one of the things that I would do is, especially if these were my clients who were depending on me to help them, is I would actually bring other people in as resources under my umbrella, so to speak, on a temporary basis. And when we come back, let's talk about that a little bit, about how to add that component to your growth cycle and to your the evolution of your company. And we'll do that right after these messages. It's 20 till. We're visiting with our good friend, John Deeney. Stay with us. Back at 17 till. I'm Jim Blasingame, the Small Business Advocate. We're visiting with our good friend John Deeney, who's with Tab Boards organization. John, tell us about Tab Boards.
Okay, Jim, we have about 130 of us around the country that develop boards of small business owners. 8 to 10 people in a typical board, from companies that don't have any competitive issues with each other. And they meet for one morning a month to act as each other's board, because, as you know, most of us don't have one.
Mm-hmm. Exactly right.
One of our boards will typically have about 200 years of experience in it. And
how
that's
many people?
Pretty,
How many heads will be in there?
Oh, with the facilitator, 9 or 10, possibly
okay.
11. It's a powerful tool to use on your business.
What about
You'll be surprised how many people have been there before.
How does it work in a small community? Where everybody knows everybody.
We have guys that work in smaller markets. Obviously, San Antonio is not small. We don't
Huge.
Have that issue much. But they do fairly well. They have a little bit more of a mix. It's only the competitive issue. They may have larger and smaller companies together, mm-hmm. but it still works pretty well.
Let's get back into the thing that I said just as we were taking a break on how to grow your... We're talking about how to grow your personal services businesses, John. I was saying that after a while, you know, you said something about that, the kind of credibility you get, and I agree with you. If you say, you know what, this is not what I'm good at, and I've said that many times before, but then I had one client who said, look, Jim, I count on you to help me. I know you don't do this. I just want you to get it done. And I realized, and this was a long time ago, and it hit me between the eyes, and I said, you know what? He's right. He knows I'm not a CPA. But he knows that I know how to manage a CPA. And so I started paying more attention to that, and I still didn't bring them the new people in as a part of my contract, but I charged my clients for the acquisition and the management of them, and then they charged him for their time.
Well, that's an excellent approach, Jim. I haven't done that myself. Typically, when I refer to someone, I have done it in a hands-off manner. I don't like being responsible for someone whose interests aren't totally aligned with mine and my clients.
Well, and I agree with you on that, except that, you know, sometimes the client says, look, I don't want you to fix it. I mean, I don't expect you to do it yourself. I just need some help getting it done.
But
that was kind of what my role was in for a lot of folks, though.
Yeah, I like the concept of the client acknowledging that you are in a managerial role on his behalf, but the person you're overseeing requires management. You know, my fear is always that if I bring somebody in under a subcontract and they don't perform, I'm going to wind up doing something I'm not that good at to
right.
cover for them.
Yeah. And that's the tricky part, but the only reason I brought that up, John, is that's another alternative to having your own having to hire or bring in as a partner someone with another discipline.
It is, but I'll point out, Jim, that's not an exit strategy.
Mm-hmm.
if you're planning to grow your business to the point where you can walk away someday, you have to have a more permanent structure.
You got to bring them in under the roof, don't you?
One way or the other. You can either do that by hiring and training them and developing your talent in-house, or by going outside and finding someone that's your equal or close to it.
Mm-hmm.
And those are two very different ways to go.
Right.
You know, the first thing I guess you should look at is time frame.
Mm-hmm.
If you're in your 40s or your early 50s, perhaps, and you feel you have 10 years to develop talent, because that's what it's going to take, then maybe you want to go out and get a younger person and train them to know what you know and do what you do. But as with hiring anyone else, you may go through a couple of candidates before you find one that's suitable to be your successor.
How do they get their clients? Do you bring them in and let them go out and find their own business, or you bring them in and hand some of your clients over to them? How do you do all that?
Of course, it depends on the firm. If you're going to be hiring younger folks that don't have your level of experience, you really better have the revenue capacity to support them for a while. If you want good ones, you're going to be competing with larger companies, industry, who are offering them salaries and benefits. And, you know, my personal opinion is you're not going to get the best and the brightest if they're going to have to starve for 2 or 3 years. They must have tremendous entrepreneurial motivation if they want to go through that. And if you find somebody that's that motivated to work for themselves, it's kind of a question why they'd want to work for you.
Well, but they might, but maybe it's because what you know is compelling enough for them that they want to, as you said earlier, they want to learn what you know, and then it depends on whether you're a good person to work for or not. But one of the things you can do is, a lot of times as a personal services provider, there are a number of different levels of work to do for clients, all of which, as your personal ability evolves, all of which don't require you to do everything. And that's how you can bring in people, isn't it, too? And that way you can spread yourself around a little bit more, only at the higher levels of contact.
Yeah, delegating and subdividing the work is, of course, one way to go. As a succession plan, we see this problem in CPA firms all the time. You get a couple of rainmakers out there that are very good at getting clients together. And they bring in generation after generation of producers who like to sit with a green eyeshade over the desk all day.
But no new rainmakers.
Stand by. Rainmakers, John, no successors, right?
We're going to talk about rainmakers right after these messages. Tintel, stay with us. We're back. I'm Jim Blasingame, the Small Business Advocate, and my website is www.jbsba.com. John Deeney is our guest, and he has a website, too. John, give it to us, please.
Okay, Jim, our local website is tabsanantonio.com, and the national website where you can find if there's a tab board in your area is tabboards.com, with two Bs, T-A-B-B-O-A-R-D-S.
All right, and that's the alternative board is what TAB stands for, right, John?
Correct.
And this is where you can learn how to develop a board. I mean, you can sit in on these boards with other business owners in your community, learn from them. You bring some things to the table, they bring some things to the table, and you very confidentially work together to help each other. And, you know, if nothing else, John, Even if you stayed in one of these, it would seem to me, for a year or so, if nothing else, you'd understand the dynamics of how a board works and the benefits of it.
That's an important part of it. We've had a few members over the years here in San Antonio who really decided after about a year they wanted a board specifically for their company. They didn't want to share the 4 hours we have in a meeting with other people listening to their issues. They wanted the whole 4 hours for themselves.
Right.
But they've gone out and assembled the board based on what they learned in TAB.
Mm-hmm. All right, let's get back to the rainmaker issue. And and find out. You know, that was one of the things that that you see a lot. Is you mentioned a CPA firm, and that's so true with them. And yet, there's almost always one partner, one of the partners, who's the glad hander, and the other one who, as you say, is the green eye shade guy.
Right.
And so how do we, you know, do we hire people who can become rainmakers, or do we hire the green eye shade folks?
Well, obviously, a good organization requires some of both. The problem with hiring the rainmakers is firms start out by hiring the eye shade folks. They start out by hiring the producers, the technicians, and they build an advancement plan, a career path that's suitable for those folks. And then they fail to recognize when they bring in a potential rainmaker that they're not going to be happy with that same career path.
Mm-hmm.
They move quicker. But a lot of these firms wind up losing generation after generation of these people as they come in, and they go off and form their own, or they go off and jump someplace where they can move more quickly,
mm-hmm.
because the firm gets into its own systems. They say, well, no, we have a path, and this is it. You know, CPA firms are notoriously conservative, or can
mm-hmm.
be. And I know CPA firms that have no problem sitting down and telling a young man or a young woman, congratulations, you're hot, you're terrific, we love what you're doing, and in another 12 or 14 years, you could really be a player here.
Mm-hmm.
For somebody in their late 20s, 12 or 14 years looks like a really long time.
That's right. That's right. John, let's talk about... Let's talk about how we protect our firm when we bring in these people, from people who will come in and you know, learn everything about us and then go next door and start their own business. How do we protect ourselves from that?
Not training your competitor.
Yeah.
It's difficult. You can't take the knowledge back out of their head. It's a risk you have to acknowledge when they come in. Of course, you know, documentation is appropriate. But you can't prevent somebody from earning a living in a field, even if you taught them the field.
Mm-hmm.
Most states won't let you enforce a non-compete that makes them move out of your geographic area or just stop earning a living in your field. So really, the legal side protection that you can have is an anti-piracy agreement where you protect your proprietary information. They can't take your forms, they can't take your tools, and they can't contact your customers. Those are pretty easily enforced.
Mm-hmm. And your systems, and this is another reason why, folks, you've heard me talk on the show before with other members of our Brain Trust about your own intellectual property that you might not even realize that you have, which is your systems for managing your customers. That's your intellectual property, and so those are things that you need to keep up with. But you also need to see an attorney about how to make sure that you protect yourselves. John, I know you agree with me on that as we wrap up.
Absolutely.
Yeah. John, let's continue this series. We've got more to talk about. Is that okay with you?
No, that's fine. I'd love to come back.
John Deaney, ladies and gentlemen, he'll be back another time. Thanks, John. Got to go
Thanks,
for this
Jim.
Hour. Before I do, I want to thank my heroes, small business owners. And this is Jim Blasingame, the Small Business Advocate, and this program is for you. I'll be right back.
Insperity presents the Small Business Advocate Show with Jim Blasingame. This is a copyrighted production of Small Business Network, Inc., intended for the private use of our audience. Except as otherwise provided by copyright law, all other copying, redistribution, or publication without prior written consent is prohibited. All rights reserved.